today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 1, Text Number 9. Saeka Chakram Prithivim. Saeka Chakram Prithivim.
Saeka Chakram Prithivim.
Anu. Anulangita Sastanaha.
Anulangita Sastanaha.
Anulangita Sastanaha.
Anulangita Sastanaha.
Shashishyati Mahapadmo.
Shashishyati Mahapadmo.
Shashishyati Mahapadmo.
Shashishyati Mahapadmo.
Dritiya Iva Bhargavaha.
Dritiya Iva Bhargavaha.
Sahi Nanda Ekachatram, under a single leadership, Prithivim, the entire earth, Anulangitaha, undefiled, Sasanaha, his rulership, Sashi Yati. He will give sovereignty over. Mahapadmaha. The Lord of Mahapadma. Dritya. The second. Eva. Asim. Bhargavaha. Parashuram. Translation. That Lord of Mahapadma, King Nanda, will rule over the entire earth just like a second Parashurama, and no one will challenge his authority. Purport. In the 8th verse of this chapter, it was mentioned that King Nanda would destroy the remnants of Kshatriya order. Therefore, he is here compared to Lord Parashurama, who annihilated the Kshatriya class 21 times in previous age. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamani Tadatiswa Kadamakam. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadana Srinathari Kaura Bhagavatenda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna. So the chapter of the canto is titled Dynasties of Kali Yuga. So also in the purport it's mentioned that Parashurama, who annihilated the Kshatriya class 21 times in the previous age. Now as you all know, Parashurama was actually born from a Brahmin family. But he took an axe and a chopper, basically, to kill the Kshatriya family, because at that time the people on the earth had become very irreligious. Okay, so the law actually, he was born in a Brahminical family, and instead of spreading the knowledge, he thought that he will take a chopper and axe all the earthly kings who were very irreligious. They were also very corrupt and tyrannical at the time. So 21 times the Lord had annihilated. That's what the purport is saying. And this is continuing actually, after the disappearance of Lord Krishna to his abode, we see the Kali was progressing, rapidly actually. So what was happening is, the rulers of this earth, after the Kali has passed, which he says as a title, Dynasties of Kali Yuga, they are very corrupt also, and they are becoming more and more irreligious. And we can see that this is even continuing today, to the current situation now. Today also, the Kali is progressing, and we can see the effects of this Kali all over the world today. Because people are tending to go more into the material enjoyment, which is a bodily concept of life. So that is the root cause of the problem. We see that even Victoria, 6 months, I think, in 6 months we had 2 floods, isn't it? And also Queensland was also devastated. We had the Christchurch earthquake, just last week or so. So much of devastation is happening because people are going away and away from Krishna. In fact, people are doing exactly opposite to Krishna's instructions. The Lord is saying one thing in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Kali Yuga people, they are thinking, okay, we know better than the Lord, okay, we will do whatever we want, you know, and then we'll make a progress. And what's the effect? You see all the deterioration happening, you know, because the law of nature, what can you do with the law of nature? You know, if you are subservient to Krishna's rules and instruction, then you will be saved. Otherwise, you know, we have to go along with the Kali and suffer the impact. Lord Shri Krishna has classified this material world as Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. So Dukkalayam Ashashvatam means it is a miserable place and it is temporary in nature. Right? Say for example, you know, I am manufacturing a product, you know. I work for a pharmaceutical company. I was working, not now. You manufacture a product, and if I say that this product is substandard, right? Say for example, I make a cough syrup, okay? And I put it in the market. And after it goes to the market, I'm saying, no, this cough syrup is substandard. It is not up to the value. But if you want, you can take it, you know. Will you buy it? As a consumer, will you buy a substandard product? No. But Krishna is saying that, you know, because as a manufacturer of this world, Sri Hari is saying, no, Dukkalayam Ashashvatam, you know. But what we are saying, he's saying, fine. We use it anyway, you know, it's a substandard product, we know, but still we will use it, you know. So what is the effect? So what is the effect of taking a substandard product? Or a product which is not up to the mark? You will not get the full result, right? And also, sometimes what happens, you've seen in our industry, that sometimes, you know, an active ingredient, you know, will lose its potency over time. That is why all pharmaceutical products has got expiry after 2 years. Because after 2 years, you cannot use it, you know, anyway. And sometimes, the active itself may have some side effects, you know. You may take a product for a cold or something, then you end up having a dysentery. And you take up the product for your diarrhea, then you have some stomach ulcers, you know. This is keeps on going, you know. Like, say for example, the place is filled up with balloon, you know. And say one area pops up. You try to press it down, another area pops up like that. And you press it there, another area pops up, you know. This is what the material nature is. You fix up one problem, another problem pops up. You can't help it, you know. That is how the nature is there. This is how the material nature God is saying. So what can you do? Can you fight with Krishna? We have seen all the demons of fought with Krishna, and what is the result, you know? So what are we going to do? So the choice for it is not much anyway, you know? So we have seen in the past all the great demons, you know, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, they all fought with Krishna. What happened? They found their end, you know. So it's better for us to follow the Krishna's instruction, and then we are safe and we are in the safe hands of the Lord. Okay, now again, as I was saying, this material world is full of enjoyment, you know, material enjoyment with the senses, you know. So which means they are going more and more from reality, right? So what is reality? Reality is, as explained by the Supreme Lord in Bhagavad Gita, is to understand the difference between body and soul, spirit and matter. That is reality. So what we are doing? We are going away and away from Krishna. Now, how do you experience reality in this material world, right? Now, I said, this material world, we are going away and away from Krishna, which means because of material enjoyment, we are going away, right? But the reality is to know the spirit from matter, right? To know that we are the spiritual entity and then work towards the goal, right? So, in Kali Yuga, people are all enjoying the material way. How do we experience reality? You're talking about two different things, isn't it? We have to know the reality, but the Kali Yuga is not having reality. So, what is our hope, actually? We are in a dilemma, actually. The hope is that we have to apply. There is a hope, of course. If you come to Krishna, there is always a hope. The hope is we have to apply the science of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam to our life. That's the hope. That is reality. Okay? So reality means applying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam principles in our life. Now, as I said, this is Kali Yuga and Lord Krishna has departed from this planet. And once Lord Krishna has departed, immediately bad omens started, and then Kali Yuga started, and it's progressing and deteriorating day by day. It's not improving. Day by day, it will deteriorate. That hope, you know, I was talking about, is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Purana, in 1st canto, 3rd chapter, 43rd verse. You know that? Okay, if you know, you can tell the Sanskrit verse, I can read the translation. Translation goes like this. This Bhagavata Purana is as brilliant as the sun and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his abode, accompanied by religion and knowledge, etc. So what happened? When the Lord left, he took with this all the good things, you know, basically. So nothing is left in the Kali Yuga actually. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam says. He took with us religion. So when you take from the word religion, what is left? Irreligion. So when you take, you know, religion, irreligion is left. That is what you have seen, you know. And then he took the knowledge also. So what is present here? So the Lord took spiritual knowledge. What is left is only material knowledge. Right? Of course, we have got, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have brought Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which has come back to us. Right? So that's what is being quoted here. Persons who have lost their visions due to dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So that is the hope. Srimad Bhagavatam itself is glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? This is very amazing. You know? You will not find this. Because it has to be, you know. See, is it something like gold is saying that I am gold, you know, I am precious. See, in the material world, there is gold, okay? But gold will not know the birth. Only others will know the birth of gold. Right? If gold were to speak, you know, the material world, of course, you've got everything is material. But in the spiritual world, you've got conscious, and everything is conscious. Right? This desk will speak, the pillar will speak, because everything is conscious. So if gold were to speak, you know, it will say, yes, I'm very precious, you know, I'm the precious metal. But it is like that. Bhagavata itself is saying that after the departure of Lord Krishna, this Bhagavata Purana will spread light to everyone. So every day, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam will give enlightenment and light just like the sun, brilliant like a sun. Interesting enough, the various translators of Srimad Bhagavatam has glorified Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Very interesting analogy, right? They are saying that Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to a sugar candy. You know why? Because of the two reasons. First reason, I think most of you know. What's the first reason? Sugar candy. Sweetness, yes. Srimad Bhagavatam is very sweet. That's what we are discussing, you know. If we were to discuss a mundane topic, I don't think people will be interested in it. Of course, they'll be interested, but they'll be looking for some monetary benefit. No one will sit here and say, yes, I want it. But if someone says, yes, I'm talking some material knowledge, you come, we'll pay you some $10 or something, then everyone will be there. But in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam, fine, it's so nectarian and it's very sweet, okay? So on account of its sweetness, it is compared to sugar candy. Now the other side of it is, sugar candy if you take, and you can taste from any side, right? It is not that only one side you have to taste, you know. You take sugar candy, turn any side and you can taste the sweetness. Likewise, Srimad Bhagavatam also, you go to any chapter, you know, go there is a bookshelf there, pick up any canto from 1 to 12, any chapter, any verse, you find the same sweetness, just like a sugar candy. You know, if you, you know, taste the bottom or the side, everywhere it's the same. Isn't it? Has anyone tasted a sugar candy which is different to the bottom and the sides? No, isn't it? It's the same. Exactly. But we will not relish it unless we taste it. Isn't it? Because it is said that in the scriptures that we have got jaundice, you know. See, jaundice means a person cannot even relish the sweetness of sugar candy or sugar. For him, everything will be bitter. You take sugar, it will be bitter. You take something else, sweet. You take sweet rice, bitter. You take halwa, bitter. So what can he do? Everything is bitter for him. The process is, he has to still take sugar candy, you know. He has to keep on taking sweet, so one day he can relish the sweetness of the sugar candy. At that time, his jaundice is cured. So for us, you know, we have to keep on practicing devotion service. Yes, sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be bad, you know. Sometimes we get the taste. Sometimes, you know, it's like a sugar candy. We taste it and still bitter. Yes, continue. That's it. It will be one day, but it's short. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam says, you know. You will get the taste, you know. So we keep on practicing it. Anyway, we're taking sugar. We are not getting the taste, but still we are using sugar. My mind knows, you know. So one day we'll know. Alright. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in many of his lectures, he is saying that the only cure, you know, of this material disease is Krishna consciousness. That is why Srila Prabhupada has established Krishna consciousness. Now, he is saying this Krishna conscious process is a natural process. Right? It's just like a child has got a natural propensity to walk. But it is, for the time being, apparently it looks as if the child is struggling to walk, you know. When the child is walking, it looks that the child is struggling to walk, but with little bit of effort, the child will be able to walk. Likewise also, we have to also feel, we are feeling at the time moment that, oh, it's very hard, we have to do chanting 16 rounds, you know, follow the principles, etc. and all that. But over a period of time, once you practice, it's easy, you know, it's like walking. Right? When the child walks, it doesn't think, oh, okay, I've struggled so much for the walking, now I'll give up walking. No, isn't it? It walks. The same thing, you know. It's like a walking propensity. It will come. It is inherent. It will come up slowly. You know? So, in practice. Now, coming back to this Kali Yuga, you know how I was talking about it's tough and people are enjoying the senses and all that. So, what's the reason for that? The reason is due to the fact that the Lord's external energy or illusionary energy or Maya is creating a big problem for the conditioned soul, right? It is conditioned. That is why people are, otherwise everyone can become a devotee, isn't it? Why, you know, some people are devotees, some are non-devotees, they find not finding any taste. What's the reason? The reason is because they are attached to the sense gratification, the sense pleasure. Okay? That is a real thing in the material world, you know. Once you're used to the sense gratification, then Krishna conscious may sound a little bit like a bitter taste, you know. So, in reference to that, I want to bring out something. So that's what I'm making the point. So, you can concise, or in short, you can say that the Lord's illusionary energy is difficult to overcome. We can conclude, right? Because everyone is struggling. So, we can conclude that the Lord's illusionary energy is difficult to overcome, right? Now, let us see what Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita is offering. In the sense that what they are talking about, the Lord's illusionary energy, right? It's very, very important, right? So you should know where you are in, okay? Suppose you go for swimming, you should know the swimming, what's the length and the breadth of the pool, what's the depth of the pool, etc., right? Is it safe for me to swim, isn't it? Will you go and just jump into a lake or a pool just like that? You'll find out, isn't it? It's safe to know. So likewise, the Lord has got the illusionary energy and all the conditioned soul are trapped in that. Basically trapped. You cannot get out. That's what Krishna is saying. Right? So the Lord's illusionary nature, we should know how powerful it is, because day in and day out we are in contact with the Lord's illusionary energy. Right? And it is always nice to know the Lord's illusionary energy from the Lord. Isn't it? We can know, you know, if you go to Swinburne University, that is also illusionary energy. But they will appreciate, you know. They will talk about some material science, about atom for 8 hours. Atom is revolving. But they know it is material, but they will never believe that the Lord's energy is very powerful, because they don't know. So it is nice to learn the Lord's energy through the Lord from Srimad Bhagavatam. I've got a couple of scenarios, so let us talk about it. Now, in Canto 1, Chapter 8, any scenario, people can think of any scenario. It's a very important scenario. First canto, 8th chapter. Sorry? Prabhu? Yeah. There, it's a scholar. Very good, very good. No, it's good, you know. At least, you know, we know. Now, Queen Kunti's prayer. Queen Kunti Devi is offering prayers to Lord Krishna, the same Krishna, is offering to Lord Krishna after the Lord has saved Parikshit Maharaj in the womb of Mother Uttara, because Ashwatthama was put as, you know, was thrown at Brahmashrama to kill Parikshit Maharaj. So the Lord has saved Parikshit Maharaj even in the womb of the. So what to speak at the final stage. So at that time, after seeing this, directly Lord Kunti Devi is offering the prayer. In the prayer, Kunti Devi is saying, a foolish observer cannot see you, Lord, as a Supreme Lord. Why? Because this is just like an actor which is dressed as a player in a play cannot be recognized. Many of you have seen plays going on, right? Sometimes, you know, they put on different shows and all that, you know, with different decorations on the body, and it's very difficult to identify who the person was, right? So, here she is saying, a foolish observer cannot see the Lord just as an actor is dressed in a player which is not recognized in a play. It's beyond that. That is why, because she is again emphasizing the point, because this is because of the Lord's deluding energy or illusionary energy which is acting as a curtain covering the Lord. Very important point, right? See what's happening. Look, think of a scenario, right? The Supreme Lord is there, we are there. He is there everywhere. He is spread throughout the length and breadth of the universe. You cannot avoid. He is here, he is there, he is here, he is here, there. Everywhere is there. Length and breadth, you cannot avoid him. But that Lord we are not able to see. Why? Why? Important point. We can see him, but we cannot see him. Because the Lord's illusionary energy is acting like a curtain. This is not for the devotee, this is for non-devotees. Okay? So devotee sees it, because Krishna says, you know, a devotee is never lost to me, I am never lost to him. If you are really, you know, Krishna conscious, you are never lost to him. Krishna is never lost to him. And you are not lost to him. You are always in touch with the Lord. How can you lose Krishna? You know, you will never lose him. But this is Lord, she is saying that he is acting like a curtain. So the Lord, imagine, you know, we have to think of this sometimes, you know, the Lord's illusionary energy is covering the Lord, and hence we cannot see his spiritual nature. Otherwise we can see, you know. So that is why what we should do as devotees, we should try to remove the curtain slowly. The curtain will not disappear like that. So the more and more spiritual energy you associate with, the curtain will be slowly going away. It is like opening the curtain, you know, during the aartis, you know, slowly. Likewise, you know, the curtain will go. If there is see, right now, you know, I can see Gauranita, Shishi, Radha, Balaka, Jagannath, Baladi, Subhadra, right? Now what happens at 12 o'clock? Here, the same place, Lord is here. Can you see the Lord? Through your, of course, eyes, you know, I'm saying. Because some people are, you can say, you can meditate on the Lord, you know, through the mind. But I'm saying, through the eyes, we cannot see. Why? Because there will be a curtain, you know. And again, it will be opened at 12:30. So during that time, the curtain, when there is a curtain, tell us frankly, you know, how many people can appreciate the Lord? Like this, right? You cannot. So the Lord's illusionary energy is acting like a curtain. That is why we cannot see the Lord. It is certain Sivan Bhavan. Okay. Second scenario. In Canto 7, Chapter 9. Anyone think of any? What is the scenario about? Oh, very good. Prahlad. See, what happens? After Lord Narasimha Dev has killed the demon Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj is offering prayers to the Lord. Okay. In that prayer, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, oh Lord, I am not scared of your ferocious form. Because you look like half man and half man. I am not scared of your ferocious form. I am not scared of your tumultuous roaring, you know. Narasimha Bhagavan, when he roars, you know, the whole world will be shaking because in fear. He said, I am not scared of your tumultuous roaring. Then, I am not scared of your fiery gaze, which has killed my father. Because Hiranyakashipu has got a boon, you know, I should not die in the morning, evening, day, night, all permutation combinations. You know, he used all computer programs, you know, but still, you know, this, that one, not in the morning, not in the evening, not in the weapon, not outside, not inside, all this, you know. So finally, Lord said, fine, don't want weapon, simple, it's easier for me. So with the nail, you know, just like a weapon, you know, he tore the stomach, abdomen, pulled out everything. No? So Pranab Maharaj is small. Imagine, you know, it's 5-year-old child here. If you see, you know, the father being ripped out, what do you think? You know? You'd be scared, right? He's saying the same thing. Srimad Bhagavatam, you can refer. You know? You can refer to Canto 7, Chapter 9. Go and refer. It's very nice. He's saying, I'm not scared of it. Then Narasimha Rao said, what are you scared of? You're not scared of my roaring. You're not scared of my fearless form. You're not scared of the lion that blood is dripping. The Lord. Everyone, Brahma is scared. Lord Shiva is saying, fine, I've never seen my Lord like this. Brahma is saying, my Vishnu is like that. No, he cannot be like this. What is this? I've never reached Shanta Rupa. So polite and so soft and peaceful, Lord Hari. But this is, what is this creature? So roaring like anything, you know. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I'm not scared. Then the Lord is saying, Prahlad, what is scaring you? He's saying, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I am afraid of the condition lying in the material world. Okay? So what does it mean? In other words, we can say, Prahlad Maharaj is scared of the illusionary energy of the Lord. Advanced devotee, they are all scared of the material devotee. We are so advanced that we are not scared of Maya. So-called advanced devotees, always they think, oh, Lord's illusionary energy, will he trap me? Maya, will he succeed in trapping me? Will he interfere in my life? But we are so strong that we are saying, no, we are not scared of Maya. Prabhupada, in his lecture, right, he always warns his followers. He says, come on, scared, you know, illusionary energy, Maya is very powerful. Right? In his lecture he talks about it. And sometimes Prabhupada is very strong also. He said, my followers are not scared of Maya. They're taking Maya very lightly. Srila Prabhupada has quoted that. So based on all this, you know, we see how powerful the Lord's illusionary energy is. Okay? Okay, so we have seen two scenarios in Srimad Bhagavatam. Let us see in Bhagavad Gita what the Lord is saying. Lord himself, okay? The supreme authority himself, let us see. He's saying 7.14. I know definitely Gopabindesh Prabhu knows this. Ah, Mahatma. Devahisi gunamayi mama maya durasaya maam evahi prapatyante mayam etam tarantuti. The translation goes like this. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Supreme Lord is saying, my energy is difficult to overcome. What can you say? Cannot. But the same Lord says, yes, you can cross. How? By surrendering to him. Simple process. Simple process. Very difficult to overcome. But if you surrender to me, very easy to overcome. The senses will not trouble you. Okay? So, the material nature is very difficult to overcome because of the fact that we are attracted to the sense object. The senses and the sense object. Okay? Now, I am going to give one more scenario. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, citing a scenario. This is in Canto 11, the earlier chapters. Okay? Now what's happening is, the sons of Lord Brahma, Brahma has four sons, okay? Very powerful sons. Now, one of the sons, there are four sons actually headed by Sanaka Rishi. He's the head basically for asking these questions. Okay? Now, he asked a question to Lord Brahma and put Brahma into a problem. Brahma is the secondary creator. The Lord has created everything, Prakriti, and Brahma, what he has to do is, he has to add, mix up things. He's a mixing agent. The Lord has, for example, in the kitchen, right, you've got all this chili powder, now it's banned anyway. You've got masala powder, and all this powder, the cumin powder, right? What we do as a cook, we just go and add different ingredients, and then it turns up, we offer to the Lord, and it becomes prasadam, right? So Brahma is like that. From the Prakriti, material nature, he takes that and puts up the whole body and they look very nice. You know? And the same body is comprised, even the cat and dog, they have the same material nature body. You know? But we are not able to distinguish. Right? So what he is doing, taking the material nature and fixing up bodies, different bodies. Okay. Now, they have asked a question, okay, to Lord Brahma. Now what's the question they ask? They say, Father, we have seen that in the material world, okay, people's mind are attracted towards the sense objects. Okay? And also, the sense objects are lodged in the mind of the people. Okay? For example, I go, I see a computer there, right? Immediately what? Through the mind, you know, I see the eyes, the computer, just a sense object. I see that, immediately I think, oh, this is the latest one, I should try to have it within a month. See? Sense object. Now the sense object is lodged in my mind. So wherever I go, I see, I wanted computer. No, I have the computer. I cannot live without it. Okay? So this is what exactly Brahma says. Very, very excellent, very brilliant people there. Anyway, that's why they read Srimad Bhagavatam. So they ask the question, how come the mind is attracted to the sense object and the sense object are lodged in the mind? Okay? In that way, we see that there is a mutual relationship between the sense and the sense object, mind and the sense object. Because sense and sense object means mind. Because the mind is superior to the senses, right? So in other words, mind and the sense object, there is always a mutual attraction. Okay? So they are asking a question. A person who wants liberation, right? How can he cross over the activities of sense gratification? How can he cross? How can he get rid of sense gratification? Now, interesting. Brahma is he is in charge of creation of the living entities, Lord Brahma. Now, on account of his duties, you know, in creating, Brahma mind was agitated. So, because he was doing, you know, the creation of the living entities, preferably in the mode of passion. So, when you do something in the mode of passion, your mind will be agitated. Okay? So, Brahma could not reply. Brahma's children, they're so young, you know. They don't even wear a dress. They're yogis, you know. They can go anywhere. No material restrictions. Anywhere. They can fly to America and they can go to Vaikuntha, Shiva's planet. No restrictions. More look like boys. Okay? They ask a question and Brahma could not answer. Father. This is what is happening these days also. Many questions they're posing, the children are posing to the father. The father cannot answer. But that is material question. But this is spiritual. Okay? So, Brahma was bewildered. He said, come on, you are asking that question. Even I did not know. I am creating the senses. I am creating the sense object. But there is a relationship. Oh, how come I did not think about it? Come on, I cannot answer. So, what did Brahma do? See, higher devotees, you know, elevated personalities, when they can't do it, what do? Immediately they go to the Lord. But we don't do that. We refer to some books, go to the library, refer some books and find we are happy. All elevated personalities, when they have got problems in life, immediately they go and meditate on the Lord. Lord, please help me out. Tell me what I should do. We have seen that Brahma has done that many times. Okay. Now again he is doing. So what he did? He meditated on the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Please help me out. My sons are asking. I have to give an answer to them. So the Lord came. Lord is also very, very smart and intelligent, you know. So the Lord did not come to Brahma as Sri Krishna. So he came and Hamsa incarnation, Lord Hamsa, swan incarnation. So Lord came as swan and he said, you know, anyway Lord can come in any form. Brahma did not even expect that. Because he's giving instruction, because in that means you have to take the creed, you know. There are a lot of things. The swan represents that there are mundane literature and spiritual literature. So you have to absorb, like a swan, you know, it's good in taking the milk from water. So you have to absorb the spiritual literature and leave the mundane literature. That's what the inner meaning of swan creation, swan incarnation. Now the swan, Lord coming as swan, is answering the question. You know what Krishna is saying? Krishna is saying, yes, I have created the senses and the sense object like that. That's the purpose. So when the senses are there, the senses will be attracted towards the sense object. You cannot do anything. You cannot do. The eyes wants to see nice things. The tongue wants to taste. The ear wants to listen to music. This is how I created. This is how the material energy will be working. Lord Sri Krishna, my own energy will be there. You cannot avoid. Krishna said, then what is the hope for us? So how can a person want to get rid of his material energy and desire for liberation? What is the hope? Krishna said, yes, there is a hope. Always there is a hope. He said, between the sense and the sense object, you bring me. For example, I want a computer. So my eyes, senses want a computer. What I should do? I should bring Krishna in between. Do devotion service. Then that will go away. I want to eat nice food. I want to eat Indonesian food. I cannot go to Bali, but I can go to Indonesian restaurant and eat. Right? But what happens? Tongue wants to eat prasada. Tongue wants to eat food. Hence that's a karma. We cannot avoid it. But what we are doing? Bring Krishna in between. Eat Krishna prasada. Then the tongue will become invalid. It will, after taking Krishna prasada, the tongue will not fight. The ear wants to listen all mundane music. What you do? You hear the glorification of Lord. Okay? Between that song and this, you bring Krishna in between. Then the ears will say, fine, fine. That's okay. I'm not attracted to any mundane song. Why? Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchyate. So devotion service means engaging all your senses in the service of the Lord. So what happens? Naturally it will disappear. Okay? So that is the formula. Okay? So what's the formula? If you want to stop the sense gratification, or if you do not want to surrender to the material energy, bring Krishna between your senses and your sense object. Anything, any form of Krishna. Then your senses will not react to the material condition. Then you will be fixed. Is it clear? So this is a formula which Lord is telling, and then Brahma is telling his sons. And then they are happy. Okay, this is exactly it. That's good. Because the Lord is the one who created this study. Alright. Now, what is the Bhagavad Gita is to offer to us about the sense and sense objects? Let us see, right? So the good way is, we see a scenario from the Bhagavatam and see what the supreme authority is saying, you know. Because Lord has spoken Bhagavad Gita. So, we compare that scenario, Brahma has said, and the Lord has also said in as Amsavatar. Then we quickly go and see Bhagavad Gita. Is Lord saying different or the same thing? Now, if the Lord is saying different, then Lord is saying different things in different. Then we'll think, okay. Not Prabhu, afterwards if you don't notice. Now, but if the Lord is saying the same thing in Bhagavad Gita, then that's the concluding fact, you know. Now, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 2.59, Vishaya vini vartante niraharase dehinaha raso prajam prasopyasya param drisva nivartate. What does it mean? The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense object remains. Okay? You're trying to artificially control. Oh, I like computer. I like to hear music. Okay, fine. I don't want it today. I'll forget it. I'll do something. And I'll do some other movie. I'll see 5 movies. I'll see 1 movie today and I'll forget like that. You're trying your own means, you know. That's not going to go because the taste is always there, Krishna says. But, Krishna says, but seizing such engagements, but experiencing a higher taste is fixed in consciousness. So what is higher taste? Again in chapter 3, or 4, isn't it? Krishna is giving a hierarchy that senses are there, our senses are attached to the body, gross senses. Above that is your mind, which is subtle sense, which is comprising of the subtle body. Okay? So sense object first, then senses, then mind, intelligence, and then soul. So if you are in soul, other things become simple, you know. So he's saying, by experiencing a higher taste, so by meditating on the Lord, by chanting the Lord's name, by hearing His glories, by talking about the Lord, what is happening? You are experiencing the spiritual side of yourself, you know. You've got a material side and spiritual side. So when you are in spiritual side, you are a soul, right? And you are at a higher state. At that higher state, the lower things will not affect you. Okay? So if there is a flood, okay, we have seen, if you are on the fifth floor, the first floor and second floor is flooded, you will not be affected, right? That's how the Lord says hierarchy. So if you are in a soul level, automatically your body will not happen. Of course you will have a little bit of distraction, but it's not going to come in your way. So the Lord is saying. So in short, we are condensing. What is mundane? So the mundane knowledge gathered through the senses and sense object for material enjoyment will cause bondage in this world. That's what we have learned, okay? So anything with the material education you gather through the senses, okay, it will be a, you think it's an enjoyment, but it's a suffering. That will lead to bondage in this world. You will not be liberated again and again, birth after birth, you have to suffer. But any knowledge, anything that is gathered through Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, is spiritual topics, right? That is gathered to realize one's identity, spiritual identity, and that will liberate you. Same thing only, you're reading. But instead of reading mundane things, you just bring Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, then liberation. You take Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, put some mundane literature, bondage. Simple. It's up to us. As Jiva, we have to take the right decision, you know. So that is why we have to be very intelligent in what we are doing, you know. Everything connected to the Lord, you know, in its own way, purification. Anything with a material nature, bondage. Alright? Then, finally, you know, I'd like to wind up with this statement. Now the Lord gives an formula in Bhagavad Gita. Because of course we have to refer to the Lord because we are following the Lord's instruction. Now the Lord gives a formula in Bhagavad Gita to avoid obstacles in conditioned life. Anyone can guess? This is in chapter 18. Very good verse. Very good verse. If you can by heart and know it, it's excellent. Okay? This is what the Lord is saying. The Lord is telling a formula to avoid obstacles in the conditioned life or material world. Okay? This is 18.58. No problem. Machitta sarva durgani mat prasada parisyasi asa chitvam ahankaran na shoshyati vinankashi. Okay. Lord is saying, I just like to read the exact word. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life in my by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through the false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Now, Supreme Lord is saying this. Right? Just read once again. No? If you become conscious of me, Krishna, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by Krishna's grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through the false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. False ego, what is false ego? Hankar. So how do you know Krishna is saying act through false? What is acting through false ego? True false ego means thinking that you are the body, not the soul. If I think, yes, I am the body, fine. So what will I do? I try to enjoy my senses because I don't know the soul. So you are not on the fifth floor, you are on the first floor. So what happens? Flood, you will be taken away by the flood. Logic. Okay? So if I know I am a soul, I am on the first floor. So flood is like material nature, it will swallow you. You know? The culprit is the material nature, not we. We are good, material nature. But the material nature will be like a flood, you know. Say, if the flood is coming, you are here. As long as you are away from the flood, you are safe. But if the flood is coming and you jump into the flood, what will happen? You are gone, lost. Krishna is saying the same thing, you know. Material nature is a culprit. Krishna's illusionary energy is a problem. Lord's external energy is a problem. Lord's maya is troublesome. Krishna's own energy is... That is why the Lord again and again is saying, don't involve much in the material nature. It is my nature. I have... Why? The Lord did not create. We wanted it. That is why the Lord created. We wanted a body for our enjoyment. Come, the task. Take it. Now, are you enjoying? No. Because every enjoyment will give you suffering. So, will you enjoy? If the same scenario, no? If I tell you, take this drug. What's your problem? You got fever. No problem. But I should not be telling in front of Mahatma Prabhu because they will have a bad impression. But they will say, okay, what have you got? You got fever. Okay, paracetamol, take this. But you can take it, but you will have stomach problems. Then I'll say, okay, give me a tablet for stomach problem. Okay, I'll take stomach, I'll give you stomach problem, but you have diarrhea. This is what it happens. Material nature you cannot avoid. That's why again and again Lord is emphasizing this in Bhagavad Gita, because the Lord is speaking how to avoid the material nature in all aspects of life. Right? So finally, how to become conscious of Krishna, or how to come under the divine energy of the Lord? How to come under the divine energy of the Lord? We have to perform the holy name for this congregational, for the holy name, which is the prescribed process for this age. Okay? Now, there are two kinds of kirtans. What are they? What are the two kinds of kirtan? One is sankirtan. What's the other one? Chanting in English, but in kirtan. It's known as anukirtan. Sankirtan, anukirtan. Anukirtan means japa. You know? It's very powerful for you. Sankirtan means with a group chanting. Okay? So we can do both, you know. So we do, you know, for our personal development, we do anukirtan, and for the whole benefit, and again for more benefit, we do sankirtan. Okay? And then, as it's pointed out early, Radha Ballabha is here, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra and Gaur Nithai, they are all here, right? But at 12 o'clock they will be closed, 11:45 they will be closed. Okay? So you cannot see Radha Ballabha, isn't it? But in other words, we can say the doors of the temple will be closed at certain times. Okay? And also evening, and 1 to 4 also the Lord doors will be closed. But the doors of the holy name will be open 24/7. Mm-hmm. 24 hours a day, 7 days in a week. The doors of the holy name is open. It's not closed, you know. The moment you chant, Krishna will appear. And in Kali Yuga, the Lord is coming in the form of the
holy name.
The Lord will come. If I say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna has come. You will not see him. That's what Lord is saying. The Lord says something here. He is not like us. We say something and we forgive. Krishna doesn't forgive. Okay. Hare Krishna. Prabhu, any comments or questions?
One thing I was thinking that not only books, we can refer to Sadhu, Guru.
Guru Sadhu Shastra.
Guru Sadhu Shastra.
Guru Sadhu Shastra, you can refer. And then they will put you on the right track.
You can even send an email to Guru Maharaj.
Which one, Prabhu? Intyagi? Of course, Guru. Because after Prabhupada, you know, we have got his books, you know, then we should have a person guru to take instructions. Or if someone is very elevated, you don't need a guru.
Without guru, we find.
No, if someone is very elevated, I'm saying. So hopefully in Kali Yuga, you know, we see the deteriorating world. How can you be elevated? If someone thinks they are elevated, then they are fallen. So this is what is spiritual life. If someone thinks I am the very good devotee, then he is fallen. If someone thinks I am the low devotee, then he is advanced. If you think that you are low, then you are advanced and you need a guru. If you think you are elevated, you are fallen and there is no hope. For all of us, you know, Srila Prabhupada is a Shiksha Guru. Then we will have Diksha Guru. As Lord, as you surrender, Lord will reciprocate and He will. Things will manifest. Any question?
Sorry, that the Krishna consciousness, the chanting of the holy name is done through like sankirtan and japa. But with activities in Krishna consciousness isn't just japa, kirtan. It's other activities as well, so how do they help with the Krishna consciousness? So, for example, cooking or singing.
It's a good question, Prabhu. You trap me like the Brahma son. Now, what I do, I'll meditate for a second on the Supreme Lord and then the Lord will give Okay, that's a good question. The primary process.
What is the question?
The question is, I have told him that chanting is the primary process for us, right, in this age, and then we have to chant, right? As far as possible, chant and Lord's name, glorify and all that. Then he is saying, if we have had to do the chanting, then what about other services like cooking, you know, and Prabhu is going to crossways, you know, how can he liberate a lot of people there? That's his question. So, okay. Now, chanting is a primary process for this age. Right? Now, as you know, there are four yogas and there are different, I'm not going to detail, I'm just saying, there are different processes prescribed by the Supreme Lord on for different processes, for different ages, right? Now for Kali Yuga, the only way to for liberation is standing. Okay? This is also discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.31, I think. I'm not too sure about 31, where it says, Shukadeva Goswami is telling, oh Rajan, the Kali, the chanting of the holy name in Kali Yuga is a fearless and a doubtless way of going back to God. Correct? Shukadeva Goswami is telling Maharaj Parishit, it's the only fearless and a doubtless way of going back to God. Don't doubt it, there's no fear. You know, you can go back, right? It's a primary process, you have to do it. Now, coming back to your question, brother. Now, if you have to chant, you can't chant 20 hours a day, can you? Arida Sakur was doing it, but we are not Arida Sakur, right? Now, the chanting will take about, say, 2 to 2.5 hours. Anywhere between 1.5 to 2.5 hours, maximum, I'm saying. Now, what will you do the rest of the time? In a day, you have 24 hours, right? Say, for example, 7 hours you take rest. You're left with 17 hours, whatever may be. Okay? Now, in the 17 hours, if you are able to chant 17 hours, you need not have to go to crossroads. You need not have to do anything. That's the primary thing. Because Srila Prabhupada says 99% of our advancement comes through chanting. 99%. So the 1% is only outside job. But we are conditioned. We are not like a soul, you know. Like when I talk, you know, I have to, you know, put my hand and express, talk, because this is my individuality, you know. I am a person. Okay? We are all conditioned. Condition means there is condition for the body and constitution for the soul. We are not acting on the soul level, are we? At times, when you chant, okay, maybe fraction of a minute, okay? So, as a conditioned living entity, you need to do some work, right? Otherwise, what will you do with the body, you know? You no exercise, nothing. So, you do for, you know, chanting for about 3 hours, right? And what do you do with the next 14 hours? What do? You meditate, your mind will not allow you to think of Krishna. Because you think of, when you start chanting, you think, what did I do yesterday? What is the important job I have to do today? Everything will be there. The moment you say Hare Krishna, oh, today there's an important job. Are you not going to meet that person? Hare Krishna, yes, I'm going to meet. See? This is what happens. The mind is very troublesome because Arjuna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Sanchala, mind is so difficult for me to control. Arjuna is seeing Krishna. Right? We are also seeing Krishna in one day. But Arjuna is seeing Krishna and saying, Krishna is very difficult, I cannot control my mind, what should I do? Krishna says, yes. That is the nature of the mind. I prayed it like that. But by practice and detachment. You practice. That is not your practice. Srila Prabhupada has given us a formula, Prabhu. So we are practicing that, you know. 16 rounds, 4 regulating principles, and Prabhupada says active job. So Prabhupada says this is sandwich philosophy, isn't it, Prabhu? Ours is sandwich. Morning Krishna conscious. Sorry, early morning, you know, till that 9 o'clock slot now, Krishna conscious. Then 9 to 5 you go for work. After 5 o'clock, Krishna conscious. So sandwich. Then the material energy will not trap you. See, Mahatma Prabhu, you know, morning Bhagavatam, evening he comes, morning, you know, noble job, career, finished. So, as a conditioned, that's my point, you know, as a conditioned living entity, we have to do some work, first point. Then for the Kali Yuga, we have to chant. And then Srila Prabhupada has given a process, right? He has seen that. Because we cannot think that we are elevated and we chant 24 hours, I am going to become Haridas Thakur, right? Try. Not possible. So by following the footsteps of Acharyas, we are safe. If you're trying to control, the Prabhupada said, fine, do 16 rounds, do the following four regulative principles, do everything, that's fine. And the other point is, everything is revolving around Krishna, you know. If the Lord is not there, we will not be cooking. I will not be coming here. You will not be going to crossroads. You won't be preaching. There's no Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is revolved around the deity. Okay? Giving prasadam to the deity, offering the deity, offering flowers. See? Mata is doing flowers, you know. You see, everything is revolving around deity, about Krishna. So our activity, it may apparently look, I'm going to crossways, I'm washing the pot. No, it's all spiritual activity. This place is Vaikuntha, like an embassy. You come here, you're ticked, and you're going back. If you go to embassy, right? When I went to Australian embassy in India, and then they checked all my things and they said, okay, I've not even seen Australia, I got the visa to come here. So if you come here, you get a visa to go to Vishnu. There's an embassy, you know, Vaikuntha. What is this premise? And you go back. Okay, brother. We'll enter. Hare Krishna. Yantra Ashima Bhagavan Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ramana Prabhupada Ki.